Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings tonight, chapter 7, very familiar portion. I'm going to be looking in verse 3, and I'm going to ask for my four helpers if they'd go ahead and come up. I told them I'd help direct them tonight, so I'm looking for my four helpers. And y'all just sit down right there, buddy, all four of you. Brother Jack, I need you too, buddy. And there better not be no hidden fees later. So y'all just sit right there. I didn't get to discuss that over with him. But 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3. And the Bible says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say that we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.' And they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, 'We do not well this day. It is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. And if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" You may be seated tonight. Thank you for reverencing the word tonight. But if I could, I'd like to focus in on verse 3 is where I'd like to focus. And the Bible says that, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? Why sit we here until we die?'" You know, I don't know what it was like for these four men, but I try to put myself in their shoes the best that I can. And you know, I can imagine as here they were, probably not well known because they were leopards. So they were probably off to the side. Probably not many people really gave notice to them. But you know, there was something inside of them that said, "I'm not going to stay here and just die." You know, we can look at America as a whole and we see a land of a lot of people that are just content to be where they are. Now, I told these four men here tonight, they're going to have an easy job. I'm just going to help direct them. But you see, I could just see as they were sitting together. There was four of them together. And here they were talking amongst one another. And you know, not only has America grown to a land that's just content and satisfied, it seems at times, but even the church as a whole, if we're not careful, we're just satisfied with where we're at. We're just satisfied with our building. Or we're satisfied just gathering together in our church and just coming in and singing a few songs and praising the Lord a little bit and then just going home. And boy, we had church. We had a time. We had revival, it seems, in some of our lives. But you know, we've got to get to the point that it ain't enough just to be satisfied. We've got to come to the point as a church, as a people, as a whole, where there's something that is inside of us that says, "I want to live. I want to have something more than just coming to church, just sitting in my pew, just feeling happy just to be here. But I want to have something inside of me that brings good tidings." Now I was thinking as these four men were sitting there, they realized that, you know, it ain't good enough to just stay where we're at. They realized, you know what, there's coming a time we need something to drink. There's coming a time we need something to eat. There's coming a time that we've got to do something or we're going to die. But you see, they were in a tight spot because they realized if we go to the city, there ain't no hope at the city. There's famine there. There's trouble there. Can I tell you, that's just what the devil has done to some of you tonight. He's told you there ain't nowhere you can look. There ain't nowhere that you can turn. There ain't nowhere that you can go. There's famine behind you. There's storms in front of you. There's troubles on the left side and on the right. And you just kind of got to a place where you're just content to sit. God help us tonight. I need his help. I tell you, I'm just a man. I promise I ain't pointing fingers at anyone. I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you tonight. But I'm here to tell you, folks, we can't get in a place where we're content to just sit. We can't get in a place where we're just content to say, Lord, if I die, I die. You see, there's people in hospitals, Brother Danny, that are on their life. On the brink, but there's something inside of them that fights for that last breath. You know what it is? It's a desire to live. You know, there's people that are out there in this world. They have no hope. They have no joy. They have no peace. But they're taking that drink, Brother Joe, just for a chance to live a little. They're taking that needle just for a chance to live a little. But I'm here to tell you, church, we have got something that we can take to them that'll let them know you can have life and life more abundantly. I tell you, we have got something that we don't have to keep it here. I love coming to church. I love coming into this building and worshiping the Lord. But I tell you what I want to do more than anything is have an effect on my community. I want to get to a place where I say, Lord, it ain't enough for just here. But there's others out there that need to hear something good. Come on now. You can't tell me you don't turn the radio on at times and it just seems like everything you hear is bad news. You can't tell me that there's times you pull out that newspaper and it just gets so discouraging. Young boys and young girls taking their lives, feeling like there's no hope. While we sit here in this church, knowing that we've got a Savior that's able to reach the world. You say, what are you preaching tonight? I'm preaching on I'm not dead yet. That's what I want to preach for a little while on. I'm not dead yet. Sometimes we look at our lives and we feel like, what can I do? Sometimes we feel like, what is there that I can do for the Lord? You know, even some of our elders here tonight, there's times that the enemy says, what can you do? Even Brother Jerry, I believe it was in Sunday school, mentioned this recently, and it touched me. And I believe it helped some of our elders. The devil will say, what can you do for the church? I tell you what, you could be the best prayer warrior this church has ever seen. You can. I tell you what, Sister Hartless, there have been times my mind goes back. That woman right there, I tell you what, she changed the atmosphere around here. You might look at her right now and say, she's kind of quiet. I don't ever see her do that. I'm telling you what, I can remember as a little boy, and I hope this is all right, but I can remember as a little boy when she would stand up and she would get to testifying. Next thing I know, she got out of her pew and she was walking around this church and she was preaching. She might say she was just talking, but I'm here to tell you, she was letting them have it. And I thought, God, you're fixing to do something. And I can remember as a little boy as she would get out of that pew and she would walk around this building, it would change the atmosphere. The Holy Ghost would begin to move. And I'm telling you what, if you want to do it again, I'm telling you, it'd be all right. Because it changed. It caused things to happen. I tell you what, do it again, Sister Hartledge. My little girl, I'd love for her to see you do it. I just remember times coming in this building. I can remember in the old church going down in the basement, and we didn't even have to start church. I remember we just got so determined to have revival. You know, there's people that say, there's no need for it. I beg to differ. There's a need for revival. I tell you what, I've got a little girl and a little boy on the way soon that's counting on having a move of the Holy Ghost. And I can't afford to just be content to say, well, it's just going to be the way it is. There's got to be something that drives us to have a move of the Holy Ghost. And I can remember as times we would get in the basement and we'd be seeking the face of God. We wouldn't know what they was doing upstairs. But I can remember when we come out of the Sunday school rooms and we would come up here, I would see some of them already dancing in the Holy Ghost. What happened? Somebody said, I'm not dead. Yeah. the devil would love to take our joy. He'd love to take, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I'm telling you, this is what I feel in my soul. The devil would like to shut us up. He'd like to tell us we ain't got a song. He'd like to tell us we ain't got nothing to testify about. But I'm here to tell you, you ain't dead yet. You ain't dead. You're still alive. The devil would like to tell you, oh, you'll never come out of that storm. And some of you has already come out of the storm and you forgot. But hey, here's your chance to say, I made it through. Some of you, you've came up to mountains that you didn't think you could get over, but you're over it. God took you over it. But you know what? Before you could ever get on that mountaintop, it's what the Lord just dealt with me tonight. He said, tell them before they could ever get to the mountaintop, they had to go climb it. Lord told me to tell somebody before you could ever win the battle, you had to go fight the battle. I'm telling you what. I said before you could ever win the battle, you had to go fight the battle. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell somebody, you don't have to just sit and die. You don't have to look at your circumstance and let that drive you to death. But you can get up and you can live by the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, the disciples, they were out on that ship. These helpers, I tell you, they are doing a good job. They look dead. They really do. They're helping me tremendously. I love it. Y'all are doing good. Keep it up. Not hearing one amen out of them. Woo! They are helping me. But you know, the disciples got on that ship, and they thought, boy, it's over. We're going to die right here. And they forgot that the very one that had healed, done so many miracles, he was fast asleep, and yet they were troubled. You know, sometimes we think, well, Lord, if I could just see you, I'd be all right. No, you wouldn't, because the disciples had him right there with them, and they were still troubled. They were still, you know, sometimes we say things, well, Lord, it's different for them. If you were right here, I'd be all right. Hey, disciples could have, they were right there enough to wake him up, but they were still troubled. But you know what? Jesus spoke the word. And said, why are you so fearful? Peace. And man, that storm just quit. You know, some of you's been there where you felt like, Lord, I'm just going to die. Lord, I'm just content to stay and die. Lord, I'm just content to be comfortable and sit right here. If I don't even get up to see the morning, it'd be all right. But you know what? You've seen another day. And you've seen another fight. And you've seen mountains. And you've seen valleys. But you know what I like about the four men is even though that they realized the situation behind them, they realized the famine, and they realized that if we go there, we could die. But you know, there was something in them that said, we've got to get up and try. You know, I'm just paraphrasing. That's basically where they finally got to the point of, we've got to do something. You know what? There's some of you here tonight. You've got to do something. I said, you've got to do something. You know, sometimes we want the blessings, but there's got to be an effort that is made. You see, blind Bartimaeus, it didn't just fall in his lap when he got his healing. But Brother Hacker, I see where blind Bartimaeus, he made an effort. He cried out, hey, Jesus, thou son of David. And what did the crowd do? The crowd said, just shut up. You know, there's probably been a few times when I've been up testifying where people probably said that same thing. Oh, boy, I wish he would shut up. But there was something inside of me that I couldn't keep it quiet. There was something inside of me that I had to let it out. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight, just this blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't stand the way he was. There was something inside of him that said, I've got to be able to see, and he's the one that can do it. Can I tell you, that's where you're at tonight. You know what you got need of. You know what you need, and he's here to help. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to cry out. Listen, he ain't going to come to you and jerk you out of your seat. You've got to make the effort. You know, sometimes the greatest blessings are when you put forth the effort. You know, some of you made great effort to be here tonight. And I don't take that lightly. Brother Trey and Sister Laura,
They drive all the way over from Indiana, but they make the effort to come to church. You know, they could have said tonight, well, I've got a great drive. I might as well just stay home. It's cold. But he's made the effort. What is it that he made the effort? It wasn't to hear me, believe me, but it was to hear the presence of God move in a mighty way. I'm telling you tonight, we can have a great service. We can have a great revival. We can see the hand of God do mighty things. But we've got to quit being content. We've got to quit being content. I've been there. I've been there where I was content to get the service over. I was tired. Work was rough when my mind should have been a little bit more on what God could do. You think about it now. These four men have been sitting there I don't know how long. But there's things that I like because it kind of reminds me as a youth group. I look at this as a youth group, a representation. I can remember, we wasn't always all on fire at the same time. We weren't. As kids, it seemed like spurts where if Adam was shouting the one night, then the next night, Brother Tim Webb might be shouting. But I tell you what it did. It got us motivated. Because when we seen one getting in, there was something that drove us that, hey, if they can get in, I can get in. That's why I stress to our young folks, get in together. Yay, with the devil, you may feel like you're weak by yourself. But I'm telling you what, when you team up together, when you get together, it don't matter if anybody else is raising their hands, you can do it. That's what I used to love about our youth group. It didn't matter who was getting in or who wasn't. We set the mode. You either got in with us or you watched. And I'm telling you young folks tonight, you can set the mode here at Calvary. Keep that fire. Man, I want my little girl to have shouting shoes on when she comes. But you know where she's going to learn it? When she watches you. You know where my son's going to learn it? When these little boys get up to testify, he's going to learn it from them. And that's why it's so important that we don't just get content to be in this building, but that there's something that gets inside of us that says, Lord, I want a fire to spread. Lord, I want something to live inside of me that it gives fruit, that it's a blessing to the church, that I don't just fill a pew, but Lord, that I come with instruments of worship, that I come to give a sweet Savior. I tell you, I want to give sweet praise. But as young folks, I don't really know how old these men were. And I've been giving it to them pretty easy because I've been doing all the talking and everything. But I want to ask one of you, you pretty hungry, Spencer? Are you hungry? This boy can eat. Believe me, I've had him over at my house a few times. Are you hungry?
Yes.
Are you thirsty?
Yes.
What about you? You hungry?
Mm-hmm.
What about you? You thirsty?
Yes.
Well, we got a problem. They're hungry and they're thirsty. You know, sometimes we come to church and we're hungry and we're thirsty. But you know what we're guilty at? Is we sit there and there's a well right before us and we fail to go get a drink. There's bread, I'm telling you what, there's bread spread out, and we fail to go get and eat. I'm telling you what, church, there's bread that's spread out tonight. There's a well that liveth. And I'm telling you what, if you're thirsty, you can get a drink. If you're hungry, you can get something to eat. But you know what you got to do? You got to take the step. You got to go get it. I can't do it for you.
I can tell Brother Leakey, I'm thirsty, man. You don't understand how thirsty I am. But I can't expect him to go get my drink for me. Now, my mom, when I was little, she waited on me hand and foot. But there were some times when she got in the right mood, and I'd say, Mom, get me something to drink. She'd say, fix it yourself. Anyone ever remember those days? Oh, what did Dad do? Or, Mom, I'm hungry. Well, you know where the food is. You know what? Sometimes I believe the Lord looks at us. And when we say we're thirsty, he says, you know where to go. And sometimes when we say we're hungry, he says, you know where to go. I'm telling you what, sometimes we just want the Lord to come and drop it in our lap. And he says, hey, how about you get up and go get it? I promise,
I'm not trying to come across wrong tonight, but this is what I've been stirred in my soul, that sometimes we know right where the blessing is. We know that he's only a prayer away, but yet we'll call so-and-so. You don't understand. I'm in the battle of my life. And then we get upset with so-and-so because she don't have the verse we need. So we'll call somebody else. Hey, so-and-so's dead. I called her for help. I'm telling you what, get on your knees for yourself. Some of my greatest blessings was when I got in a room by myself. And I said, God, I'm not fooling you. You know exactly where I'm at. And I really need you. That's why I had some of my greatest move of God. Nobody else around. It wasn't a church full of people, but it was right in my room. Me and God. And God met my need. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stay down. The devil will tell you, you're not a good prayer warrior. I'm telling you what, he's a liar. The devil will tell you, he don't have enough bread. I'm telling you what, he's unlimited. There is no limits with God. These four men, they're hungry. They're thirsty, and that's the condition where they're at right now. They're searching, what do we do? Some people say, well, there's nothing they can do. But you know what? They got so desperate to live that they were willing to go down to the enemy's camp. You know, sometimes you got to get so desperate that you're willing to go into the enemy's camp and say, God, I'm trusting you to make a way. But you know what? Their desperation did not go unnoticed. You say, but they were just leopards. What could God do with them? Do you realize that while they were on their way, it wasn't the great warriors of Israel that went down to that camp. They were scared. They didn't see a way out. They didn't see God moving. But I tell you what, four leopards had enough courage to say, I got to live. I've got to do something. I can't just stay here. And now if they would, I want you to walk. Simple. I just want you to walk. You can walk around this church 40 times if you. So you got energy, go do it. They decided to not only get up. You know, it's one thing to just get up, but that ain't enough. You got to go. Hallelujah. I said it's one thing to get up, but you got to go. Yeah, they knew where the bread was, but it wasn't enough to just get up. They had to go. So now they're walking. They're heading on their journey. And I want to read the scripture one more time because it really just gets me. But it says, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. They left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Do you see what the Spirit of the Lord did? I'm telling you, some of you, the devil said, don't get up. Don't get up. If you get up, you're going to cause catastrophe. You might. A Holy Ghost breakdown. I'm telling you what, the devil would like to tell some of you, don't testify. You might get in the way. Hey, I'd rather you try to get in the way than not do anything. I'd rather these young people right here. I'm telling you, as Brandon, well, I'd rather you try to do something than sit there and just die. I'm telling you, this whole church, I'd rather see my church family. You guys are my family. I love this church. I would rather see us try to do something for God, even if we fail. Hey, we tried. You know what? Before we ever had lights, there was failed attempts. There was. You go back and study it. There were failed attempts before we ever finally got electricity. But thank God somebody had a mind to keep trying. You know, planes, before they ever really flew like they do today, we even had deaths as men tried to accomplish great things. But you know what? Today, I've flown on a plane probably 4 or 5 times because somebody made the effort to see it through. You know, we can look at a lot of things and we think just because we fail that we've messed up. But I read in the Bible where it says, rejoice not against me, O my enemies, for when I fall, I shall arise again. There's not a problem in falling, but the problem's when we don't get up. That's the problem. But you see, they get up and they're working their way to the camp. And while they're on the way to the camp, they find the enemy gone. You know what? Some of you, if you would take the step, you'd find the enemy is already gone. The devil's told you, you'll never get what you need. The devil's told you, stay where you're at, be content, and you don't even realize God is just waiting for you to take the step. I'm here to tell you, when they got there, the enemy was gone. Four leopards put an enemy on the run. Put them on the run. Not in themselves, but by the power of God. Then they get there. Now they're enjoying it. I can see them as they're enjoying the food, the raiment, and doing all that. But you know, I know they went back and told the Israelites, but I kind of like it, liken them to the church. We know what God has done for us. We know how God has saved our souls, how He's healed us. There's things this world will look at and they will not understand like we do. I kind of liken it to a different point of view. When the world, if you was to tell them about the children of Israel coming to the Red Sea, it would probably get them interested, like, what happened? And then if you was to tell them about how they made it out, the world would be like, there's no way. But then that's where we could take from a different point of view and tell them about the way maker. I'm telling you, we've got so many things. They put out all these storybooks, the world does, and it wouldn't even compare to some of the things we could tell them about. I could tell them about a woman with cancer sitting right here tonight and tell them how they thought there was no hope, but I see her still sitting right here with us. I'm telling you what, I could tell them about a time when they thought I had a disease and it wasn't good, but I'm still standing. There's some of you that could talk about miscarriages, but how the God of the universe made a way, and today you've got children. There's some of you that could talk about when you didn't have no groceries, but God made a way. I tell you, why sit here? Why sit here tonight and hold it all in for ourselves? Because like they said, for we do not will. I'm telling you, God didn't give us these things to not tell. But God has given us things that we could tell the world. We could tell the world about His goodness. I say this recently, this happened for me, but I had a fall about 18 feet. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I landed on my head. I should be dead right now. But I walked in the door and I told my wife, I said, honey, ain't God good? I said, the worst it did was a cut on my shin. And I'm telling you what, it didn't mess me up. I was thinking, thank you, Lord. We serve a good God. Another story to tell people that we serve a good God. There's some of you here tonight. You've been in a place, though, where you've been content to sit at a barren table with barren barrels, no food, no water, and you've been content. And I'm coming to a close. But you've been content to just sit with empty cabinets spiritually. And you don't have to be that way tonight. Brother Kevin, my wife, would get ready with the song. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight to help somebody. But you've been in a place where you thought, God, nobody knows where I'm at. But you forget we serve a God that knows all things. And it don't matter if your neighbor knows where you're at or not. He knows where you're at. It don't matter what the condition of your heart is. He knows. Don't matter your needs. He knows. I felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart tonight to tell somebody, you're not dead yet. You know, sometimes we get to a point where we're almost contemplating with the Lord in our spiritual lives that I'm dead and there's no hope. Has anyone ever been there? I've been there where I thought, Lord, I don't see how you're going to get me out of this one. I've been there where I've sat in service, and I'll be honest, my worship, Brother Trey, was about as dry as could be, but I did it because I knew He was worthy anyway. There's been times I've went to the altar and I prayed and I cried and I couldn't feel a thing, but I did it because I knew He was worthy. And I said, Lord, no matter what, it's enough because You're worthy. And you know, that's where some of you are. You're crying tears because you're envious, because you know you need something. And there's some of you that's got needs here tonight that nobody else knows about. But the Lord said to tell you tonight, you're not dead yet. And the only way you're going to get past it is to make the effort to get over it. You hear me? I said the only way you're going to get past it is to make the effort to get over it. The children of Israel, God made the way, but you know what? They had to go through. Just because he split the waters, I don't find where God said either you cross or I'm going to pull you across. No, they had to make the effort to go on. You know, the three Hebrew boys could have looked at the fire and said, I'd rather just bow than die. But they had a hope in God that said he's going to make a way. And there's some of you tonight, I'm challenging you tonight. Get up. Get up. Do not stay down. So if you'd stand all across the building tonight, I preach my heart to you. I preach what the Lord dealt with me on. That it ain't over. You know, there was battles in our history where it looked like it was over. But then all of a sudden an amazing comeback happened. And when the news flashed that there was great loss, there were times that they had to resend it and say, never mind, there's been a comeback. And I'm here to tell some of you tonight, the devil's tried telling you, you're dead. But God says you ain't dead yet. So I'm leaving it up to you tonight. You know where you're at. Who's going to be willing to say, I'm making a step for bread? There's bread in here tonight. There's something you can drink tonight, and it's better than anything else you could ever have tonight. But I'm going to leave it to you. I'm going to let them sing.
Get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated.